All right, I always say that we're live, and I don't mean it really, but we're kind of live. Well, once again, I'm here with Moses Mincer.
Don't hurt yourself. Yeah, Mincer.
I mess up your name, but it's all right. Good. Today is, let's see, May 15th, or are we on the 14th?
14th.
All right, May 14th, 2015. And Moses, again, if you remember from way back, the last time I was here, is an IT security, like, kung fu artist who fights the...
My kung fu is strong.
That's right. He fights the Chinese and all their little ways of trying to infiltrate. How's that going?
Oh, just fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, did you guys win yet?
No, it's a never ending. It's basically sort of... you kind of put the wall up and they come at you and you got to try and build your wall stronger. It's a defense game the whole time.
It's like Game of Thrones?
No.
Oh.
Not at all.
They don't have dragons yet?
Yeah, no dragons. You know, no, what are they, those undead called?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. The frozen people up north?
Yeah.
I don't, I just started watching. I love that show. That show's pretty badass.
Yeah, it is.
How about the North Koreans? Are they messing with you guys at all? Or when you guys, I mean us?
I don't think so.
Really?
No.
I'm starting to think they're a bunch of talk.
Oh, they're all talk.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all about posturing. I mean, the whole thing is always about posturing. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they have nukes, but at the same time, nobody takes them seriously. It's sort of like, look at us, you know, we're going to attack you. Yeah, of course you are.
Do they have nukes though? I mean, isn't it just like assumed they do?
Well, I mean, we know that, I mean, I'm speculating here because I really can't say for sure, but from what I've read,
you can't.
No, you know, my top secret CIA contacts, you know, have been telling me these things, but no, I mean, you assume, and reading from the news, they have nukes and they've actually exploded them. So yes, they have.
Oh yeah, that's right. Underground.
Yeah, that's right. So they have used them. So we know that they've got them. And they have long-range missiles that supposedly can reach Alaska, something along those lines. How accurate they are is a different story, and if they can get it there, you know, it's a different, you know, but...
If they start saying they can reach... Actually, I'm not really going to worry until they start... If they use the term Raleigh, then I'm out of here, and I'm moving inland.
No, I think we're pretty good here, because we've got Europe as a buffer zone.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So California, Alaska... The Aleutian Islands, those are pretty close to Asia.
Yeah, so, you know, when those start burning up, then, you know, we'll know, okay, time to go to Canada. It's safe there.
Did you see what was that with James Franco and the other guy there?
No, I did not see
that. It was pretty good.
I mean,
it's dumb.
I wasn't going to see it in the first place, and then they took it, and I was like, I should see it for the spite, and I'm like, no.
The interview.
I still don't like him.
Yeah.
No.
Well, one of the few movies I actually paid to see. Should I say that? I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, because I want. Here's the thing. So people are going to download movies. They're going to stream movies. It's going to happen,
right?
And CEOs of like HBO, Netflix, they see that and they understand that, and they make the options available for people that are trying to get their media that way. I think if you're trying to we're just going to show these in the theaters and we're going to ignore the fact that people are pirating and ignore the fact that people are watching these from home, then you're deluding yourself. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Modern day people want everything on demand. That's basically how it is. It's the way the internet and laptops and I'm starting to sound like my dad.
Those interwebs and laptops.
You know what I mean, though. I mean, it's the modern...
My name was the ARPNET.
It's the modern age. And if they're not keeping up with it, then screw them. And if I can click a link, I should... Am I incriminating? Isn't there a law against self-incriminating? I never download anything.
No, I but
I mean, you can watch
streaming. I know
people
who do, and this is what they've told me.
Yeah. But no, I mean, literally, you can find things. I mean, there's websites out there where things are streaming. Like a football game is on. It's streaming. You're not downloading anything, but
I'm sure. What about the fight?
The fight, yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You can try as much as you want, but I mean, there's going to be avenues and stuff where people can pirate it and I mean, how do you block it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like the internet really is the Wild West. I mean, there are some policies and procedures, but it's so global.
Mm-hmm.
They have to get all the countries in to really follow, you know, the guidelines, or you'd have to block them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look at China with their Great Wall. Say what you will about it, but, you know, they probably do a lot better as far as keeping some of the bad stuff out from outside the country than we do.
Well, do you think still today?
Oh, yeah.
Do that thing still work?
Oh, yeah. No, actually, I was just talking with a vendor, not going to mention names, but they were saying that people in China were complaining because they couldn't get to their service because the firewall had blocked them because of another person that had some stuff that they weren't happy about.
Wait till you hear how freaking stupid I am right now. I literally thought you were talking about the Great Wall of China.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm sitting here going, really? That thing still works? That's keeping the hordes out?
It really is. No, it's actually stopping the internet. It's really good. Yeah.
Right. I
you
honestly...
You are not editing that.
No, I won't. That's fine. I kept Victoria's 51 states in here, so I'll... I don't know if you listened to that episode, but... episode 4, maybe. Yeah, go back.
Or is that here. which one's the 51st?
Oh, that... no, you'll have to listen.
I didn't edit that out.
That was one of my previous guests. Okay. But you know what? In her defense, I can hear her actually yelling at the podcast right now. But in her defense, she is from Mexico. No, Argentina. Oh, yeah, there it is. Again, that was just a stab at her. She knows, and I know where she's from. So. Yeah, I left that in, so I'll leave my thing. Well, you said China's wall, so I thought...
Yeah.
You know?
They man it and everything. It's really good.
If you were to talk about a leaning tower in
the
Italy, I'm not going to
think... this close from just taking them down and DDoSing their
that's funny. Well, that actually kind of can streamline a little bit into what I was just thinking, or what I was thinking about talking about for a little bit, because I just watched on HBO. So HBO has the HBO Go. It's
right.
Fantastic. It's awesome service.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch all your stuff for legally, and you pay them, obviously, but it's not a ton of money.
Right.
You don't have to worry about getting dragged through the coals by cable and have to buy, you know, a huge cable package. Because screw cable. Who does that now? I mean, well, all right, probably everyone listening. But the idea is, who wants to do that now? Who wants to pay $100 for... 180 channels when really you watch maybe 6. And again, that's not meeting the demand of the public. Public doesn't want that. The public wants to watch, like personally, let's say myself, I want to watch Game of Thrones. I want to watch...
If I could cookie cutter what channels I want to watch
and
which ones I don't, it'd be a different story. Like if I could pay per channel and it was all like that, that would make it better. Whereas I'm not paying for shows and channels that I will never, ever watch. Because, I mean, you flick through them, and you're looking at stuff that you're like, not going to watch it.
Yeah.
Me and the whole family, nobody's going to watch that. Maybe one day they'll have a movie on Saturday, 2 o'clock, and there's absolutely nothing on. Maybe one day I'll watch that channel. But honestly, you know, if you could cookie cutter it that way.
Do you ever catch yourself watching something through commercials and you either own the DVD or you own it, you know, in your whatever streaming somewhere? And you're like, why the hell am I doing this?
Well, you know, cause it's easy.
Yeah, I'm watching The Hunt for Red October. I'm sitting through 10 minutes of commercials and I have the whatever. But
I think cable's probably there's going to be a change on the internet.
I think it's going on right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. With HBO, I think that the major blocks right now are probably your big broadcasts, but even they are getting to the point where I think
Hulu. Look at Hulu, the way they work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think Hulu is going to get to the point where it's going to take over. I mean, I don't know. I don't have Hulu, so I can't say. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's all. We don't have cable, so we use Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime to some extent. I mean, that's kind of like we pay for Prime for shipping,
right?
But it comes with a free TV show.
Yeah, and they're like,
Well, actually, not. I mean, they have like a lot of FX, which FX has got some great shows.
Now, what's Hulu missing?
And they have HBO. What's that?
What's Hulu missing?
I don't know because I only use it. I only started watching it because I heard either on the radio or something they were talking about The Last Man on Earth. It was a TV show. Yeah, so I start watching that. And then I catch a couple other shows, but not too many. I use it rarely. I'm really into, I'm really into binge watching series. That's my, I mean, for the last like 2 years, it's all I've done.
I just did that with Daredevil.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, that's good.
Is it really?
Yes.
I'm not really into superhero movies though.
No, it's more like, I mean, he's got some superpowers where he can kind of see with being blind kind of deal, but that's as far as that goes.
Can you see and be blind?
It's basically like kick butt the whole time. I mean, it's pretty cool.
You basically just said his superpower is to see while being blind. Isn't that kind of like seeing?
I know, it's like your four senses are heightened beyond superhuman ability.
So this guy is a quadriplegic, but he can walk.
He's like a super bat.
Oh, okay, I got you. So he can see beyond what we can see.
Exactly.
All right. Well, no, I haven't watched that yet. No. I watched, this has got to be just really Gilmore. Good radio for people. And I'm like, oh, what? I really care what Kevin and Moses watch.
Watching these days.
You just sound like a couple old ladies. What type of cake do you like? What's your favorite tea? Anyways, so.
I love it.
So to go, one of the things I watched that was on HBO was the, I wanted to go back to.
Too late.
Blockbuster, screw them, right? Because Blockbuster, what did they do?
Right.
I watched all their things close down, and it's because they were dumb.
Right.
I mean, how can you not have anyone, either an R&D or somewhere saying, look at Netflix, look at all these other, and look at streaming, and we're going to still do DVDs?
I think they just had too much invested in their model and the storefront, and I think they just picked up too late on it.
I think they're offering something that still exists.
Oh, yeah, they did. Actually, I think... Dish Network or somebody bought them, but
did they really?
Yeah, but it never took off. It's like another kind of like streaming service kind of deal,
and they're starting to become a dime a dozen, the streaming services, because we have Roku as well, and you can go on Roku and there's just hundreds of channels, and they're everything. I mean, a lot of them will be like B movies, mm-hmm. Old horror movies. But if you're into that sort of thing, I like kind of old campy stuff like that. So you just got to hunt down. It's kind of the Wild West now. It's like the very beginning with all the streaming stuff. And what's going to happen?
Public access.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen? Is NBC going to start charging $2 a month and $5 a month for CBS? And eventually, it's going to be just as expensive as cable.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're paying per channel.
Yeah. But none of them are linked up. Hulu links them all together, but nothing else is kind of...
Right, exactly.
So are you going to have to log into every channel? I mean, that's kind of dumb.
Well, and that's the thing where, like, you pay for a service, and then maybe it shows up in your Google Internet kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, like, you've actually got, like, a Hulu says, okay, I want this channel, mm-hmm. channel, and then you just log on to the Internet and browse whatever channel you want to watch, and you watch it that way.
Yeah, and that's kind of what... I mean, that's what I do. I mean, kids go to bed... It's quiet. I'm just watching whatever series I can watch right now.
That's cool.
Justify was a good one. FX just had some really good stuff out with Breaking Bad. That was AMC. Anything off of major networks, like mm-hmm. you get away from anything that's broadcast, and they've been pretty edgy lately.
Yeah, like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think it's funny because you hear people bitch and complain about, remember the Super Bowl boob a few years back, Janet Jackson.
I know.
Right? People freaking out about that, but you can throw on The Walking Dead and watch someone get a K-bar through their head.
Exactly. Violence. Yeah, no problem.
No problem.
Yeah. just let's not see any skin.
They don't pull punches on that show. Everyone is. Yeah, kids, everyone gets it. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So I watched, I'm still trying to get to that point. I watched Snowden, it was called Citizen 4, and it was about Snowden.
Okay.
And that whole fiasco. And I'm confused about it because, you know, as a libertarian, I hear what he did, and I'm like, okay, I kind of get it. I get that. Here's a guy. Do you know anything about him, what he did? And
yeah, basically, I mean, he stole secrets and mm-hmm. then, you know, because... Well, I mean, go into...
Well, he based on his position, he was a contractor that worked for the NSA, and I don't know exactly what he did, code or something, I don't know, something computer.
Right.
And he noticed that we were basically spying. We had these dragnets. I mean, we were throwing out large nets and just collecting metadata, which I assume, because I don't know, metadata is just large... amounts of non-specific data. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So they're collecting all this data from, say, cell phones. Say, AT&T They're just collecting everything. Who's calling from where, text messages, emails, everything that goes through their service. They're just collecting it and storing it. And then they say, okay, I don't trust this person. They ping on the NSA's radar and, you know, they make the everyone jokes about the list, but that person makes the list. And now they go, all right, let's back him up a little bit. All right, he'd made this phone call on Tuesday. We know that. Let's look at his phone records and see how many times he called that. All right, where did he call those from? And then you just start building a picture. The more data you get into, the more invasive you get. So the idea is they're not specifically sitting there and listening to you and I, like right. you and me. Yeah, to you and me.
Right.
But the ability for them to backtrack into your life is there. And that's what creeps people out. And he saw it as, you know, this is way overreaching. And so he took all that data or basically all the information about that. And then I don't remember exactly what he did as far as, I think he just had all this data that was supporting like all these different programs mm-hmm. and took that to Germany maybe or Hong Kong. I think he was in Hong Kong, invited journalists there. And then he said, hey, here's everything. You know, I'm right. biased at what I do, but release what you think is good. And that's treasonous. I mean, he's given away secrets.
Right.
Could he have done it another way? I don't know. Could he have gone?
I think so. I mean, it's one thing to alert our journalists, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe have a press conference and everything else like that. Yeah, you might go to jail, but to actually take it overseas to China, which is not quote unquote an enemy, but
yeah.
still somebody that, you know, I mean, I think that was going too far.
Sure.
That was, I mean, it's one thing to say, hey, I've got enough information. I can go to the journalist, blah, 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 make, you know, have it stored away. Maybe not show it unless you need to kind of a deal mm-hmm. or put it into something where, you know, I don't know. I think that was a bad move on his part. I mean, it's one thing to blow the whistle and say, hey, we're doing something we shouldn't. Everybody needs to know about it. You know, if he tried to talk to journalists and nobody was listening to him, okay, maybe he had to go to the next step.
Mm-hmm. But what about going to like a congressman or senator, someone from a intelligence committee that also shares a top secret clearance?
Not that I don't know, because I mean, they're probably going to be involved with him and they'll probably stop him like real quick. That's mm-hmm. why it's sort of like, it'd be like a Watergate situation. You're probably better off going to, you know, a journalist or, you know, some kind of news organization that at least you feel that, you know, you can get the word out and say, hey, this is wrong what we're doing.
Period. And maybe he should have just, yeah, instead of giving up the actual information, mm-hmm. which I guess lends credibility to a story, but I mean, also puts people's lives in danger.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, What information did he give away? I mean, did he also give away information that can be used against other people?
I think so, yeah. But it was up to the journalists to release that. So like WikiLeaks, I think, is who they gave
right.
information to. And they were the ones releasing some of this info. And some of the stuff that he came up with was Verizon on an ongoing daily basis provided the NSA information on telephone calls within the U.S. and between U.S. and other countries. So, I mean, to me, that's just one thing. I mean, then there's a secret program known as PRISM that began in 2007 that collects foreign communications from traffic mm-hmm. from the servers of 9 leading U.S. internet companies, namely Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, PayTalk. And I think that's supposed to be PalTalk, YouTube, Skype, AOL, and Apple. What else? Government's top secret black budget. So there's money getting put. I mean, you expect that. I expect there to be money going into it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, until he came out, did you really think that things you did on Facebook, things you...
Well, that's public. Calls, yeah, you're just giving that up.
I mean, even phone calls and stuff like that. Did you really think that there wasn't a way that that could be gathered?
Yeah, you joke about it. Like, we would always joke about
right.
it. Right. Yeah.
And you knew in the back of your mind, it wasn't like when he came out, it was like, wow, that was mm-hmm. a big... I never saw that coming. I was like, yeah.
yeah. But I think it just confirmed the, because everyone jokes, but there's a little bit of nervousness in that nervous right. laughter. Like your friend says bomb to you on the phone and you go, well, we just made a list. Right.
right.
And then you're ha 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 ha. And then you think
we just made a list. By the way.
Yeah. I'm sure I'm on a list now. I don't, whatever. But you know, we live in a free society and we're really getting into some Big Brother territory there because this is, I mean, if they've been doing this since, you know, let's say
the Patriot Act. Here's another thing. What happened as ramifications for what he did?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
I'm sure that
was there anything past? Was did call to arms come?
Yeah, well, right now there's a lot of stuff going on. I want to say this week there's some things going on in Congress where they're passing. But there is something going on this week. There's some sort of bill that's out there about limiting the powers of the NSA, and it's getting bipartisan support.
Okay.
Which to me should be, but that's the libertarian in me speaking.
Right.
Because the smaller the government, the better. And I don't want the government, you know, sticking its nose where it doesn't belong, which as a libertarian is everywhere. But
yeah.
well, I won't get into that. We'll stay out of politics on this thing. But I mean, I don't know. Something as widespread as that, it just smells of Big Brother, and it smells of everything just being tracked. And if you're going to voluntarily put your stuff on Facebook, okay. I mean, that's a public page. You're not having private conversations. I mean, you're taking your life and you're putting it on a page.
Right.
But with a telephone, with texting and all that, you're talking to your wife. You might be talking to your kids. The government has no business in there. None.
I agree. But also at the same extent, what if this has prevented another 9/11 from happening?
True. But what if a 9/11 or anything, and this sounds awful, I guess, to say, but let's just say, theoretically, what if that's just the cross we bear as a free society? Mm-hmm. I mean, we are a free society. We're a big experiment. There's been no country like ours since 1776, and there'll be, I mean, who knows if there'll be, just judging where the country's going lately and how big government's getting, I don't know if the future holds what we've had over the past 250 years. But I mean, that's the basis of our country. And if our freedoms mean that we're at risk for some things, I mean, maybe we have to look at other programs. Maybe we have to look at securing the borders. As a libertarian, I have to say, I mean, securing the borders, yeah, is important.
Right.
I guess I believe in a strong military and strong protections, but I don't think
there's always going to be that two sides of the coin. I mean, you know, in other countries, you know, where, you know, you've got one major power, let's say like China or Russia. I mean, if they had a problem with the border, that would be locked down a lot more than we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes, I mean, look at what happened with Iraq. I mean, some people say, you know, we shouldn't have even got in there because he was basically controlling and everybody from attacking each other. Mm-hmm. But that was a dictatorship.
Yeah.
And well, we say that, well, that's bad. But you know what? In certain situations, that's what's called for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's also, if they want to overthrow their government, they got to stand up and make their own sacrifices. Who are we to go in and make those decisions for another country?
Well, that was also what I had a big problem with. It was like, there was no reason. Afghanistan, it was one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Iraq was like, what?
Yeah.
But we're over here.
And wait a minute. What? North Korea is kind of getting in all the,
but they've got oil. Okay. Let's go.
Operation Iraq. There's this, when I was over there, the joke was that originally it was supposed to be Operation Iraqi Liberation. But that was oil, so they had to change it to Operation Iraqi Freedom. So I don't know. I do know. My thoughts are, you have to come up with a different way. You can't be spying on your people. You just can't do it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's the sort of thing where, you know, if there was another party that would store it, but then there would be...
But you're still
collecting. You would have to get... Well, it's sort of like checks and balances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, let's say we need to have the data, but to actually access it, you would need a court order, kind of a deal.
Okay. So you're voluntarily giving up that data. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, well, let's say like we have a situation where they have identified somebody who might be a terrorist and we need to go back. We need to get all those logs.
Now that you say that, I think that's what the Congress is working on this week.
Right. And that makes more sense rather than, hey, we're going to grab everything. We're going to get all the information, whether we think you're a terrorist or not, we're just going to pull it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, you could be doing a lot of other bad things with that information that has nothing to do with what your job is,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to, okay, we've got the data. It's being stored. We've got this identified. We need to piece through. We need to find out as much as we can, and we need to access it. Mm-hmm. And here's a court order. Let's do it. Then I'm okay with that.
And then what if it gets hacked? What about the vulnerabilities? So everything that you have is out there, and let's say you want to run for Congress, and now they can say, run for Congress. Oh, look at this text message you sent.
You have to assume that everything you do, it's sort of like people who paste, stuff on the internet or send stuff to their girlfriend or their boyfriend. And it's like, you got to be smart about these things. Yeah. I mean, you can't, anything you post, you have to assume with a certain amount of percentage that it can get leaked one way or the other.
I heard, did you listen to that Joe Rogan podcast at all with Alex Winter? Mm-mm. He was the one who, he was involved in the dark web, the deep web.
That's right.
And he said, it's not a matter of, when you're going to get hacked. He's like, you've been hacked. Everyone's been hacked. It's just depends on whether the hacker thinks they can exploit that from you. Can they get any money? What can they gain from your information? And he said, if you consider all the people that are online, let's say 80% of the U.S., and that might even be lowballing there,
right,
has some sort of internet activity. I can't do 80% of 300,000, but it's up there, 275,000 maybe?
Right.
I don't know, somewhere around there. So that's a lot of people and a lot of data that is available to the people that want to get it. And it's, they say you're sort of everything. They say everyone's been hacked.
Now, by hacked, what exactly are they meaning? I mean, it's easy to say you've been hacked, but
my idea would be someone somebody taking information from you without your permission maliciously. So,
okay, so like taking your name, your number, your social security mm-hmm. number and everything else.
I mean, I know that there's ad tracking. Like, when I was looking for pickup trucks, all of a sudden every website I went to had a little ad on the side for pickup trucks. So I know there's they can track, right, which I don't even like that. I mean,
right.
I know
that bugs me
too. It caters to me, but yeah, I don't
like, I look up something and then all of a sudden I go to websites and there's that thing I was looking at all the time. Yeah.
There's a way to get off that. I forgot how. So then that leads to my next question, which I was going to ask you as an internet security person. How far do you go? So the deep web apparently was designed, or the web in general, was a military thing.
Right.
I guess the Navy invented the deep web for spies to talk to each other completely anonymously.
Right.
So it's just numbers. It's just numbers. And I guess the instead of .com, it's .onion.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, the internet, think about it as kind of, it's a highway. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk to one person or another, you have to get on the highway and then you can go down to that that address. Now, basically what this onion is basically it's encrypting traffic. Do you know what a VPN is?
No.
Okay. A VPN is basically...
I see it on my phone. I can select VPN.
Okay.
Very protected network. No.
Basically, what it does is it encapsulates everything and it encrypts it. So instead of, let's say if you were at a coffee shop and you went to, Google or you went to Amazon or whatever, and as long as it's not SSL traffic, and let's just say it's just basic web traffic, somebody could be sitting there and sniffing all the traffic and actually see exactly what you're doing. If you put in a username and... to some extent, if it's not encrypted for some reason, you're not going to, where if they're sniffing, they could probably, capture a certain amount of data of what you're doing and what you're browsing to.
Mm-hmm. Now, so these are people just sitting there and they're probably doing it a lot, huh? On their laptop outside a coffee shop.
And what a VPN does is it encapsulates your traffic. So let's say you're at the coffee shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you connect to a VPN at another location, and all that traffic is scrambled.
Okay, and only
only those two people can intercept it. And what you do is your traffic goes to that where that VPN is, and then you go out the internet that way.
Okay.
So anybody who's in between your location and where you're going to the VPN, is garbage. And basically, it's going a step further. It's sort of like saying, okay, well, all the traffic that's going across the internet, everything I'm doing is going to be encrypted with this onion network.
Okay. So what level, So that sounds all good, but and I see that there's a VPN button on my phone. What do I do about that? Like, let's say I'm
you'd have to set up a VPN location.
With someone else, right? Or somehow, whatever that location
you'd
is.
Have to, like with your work or at home, you'd have to buy like a VPN, or you could set one up and you can connect to your home computer and then browse through your internet. At least you know inside nobody's tapped into your network.
Okay. So it's almost like a remote desktop and you're
kind of, instead of using the desktop, the processing, I mean, you're still going through the internet. You're just adding an extra hop. So, you know, instead of going from the coffee shop out to the internet, you're actually going from the coffee shop, say, to your house to the internet.
Okay.
So maybe it's a little bit more latency. There's more overhead. Mm-hmm. So it might be a little bit slower, but at least you know, because it's an untrusted network where you're browsing from.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be, so you could go to your bank account and feel safe.
So there's people just walking around Target, just sniffing for people.
Oh yeah. Well, that's open.
Yeah. So let's say I'm at Target and I have my phone out.
And you know, when you go to that, you connect to Target and you have to sign that little thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's their way out. So, hey, if you get hacked while you're on our network,
you
read this, right? And you clicked approve, because we're not responsible for that.
Huh, okay.
Yeah.
So if I'm walking around, though, let's just say I'm a Target and I have my phone and I have a barcode reader, and I say, you know, I think I saw that on Amazon. I know I can get it cheaper on Amazon. And you click on that, and your Amazon's automatically signed on.
Right.
Are you now vulnerable? Is your Amazon account vulnerable? Is something going on?
No, because that probably is, your connection to Amazon is probably SSL, which is, it's its own encryption for between you and Amazon.
Okay.
So, like, when you put in your password, that actually, like, when you go to your bank account, you know, put your username and password. That information, you kind of like share keys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get deep into it, but basically what happens is only the you and Amazon hold those keys that can decrypt the traffic going between you.
Okay.
So when you're doing stuff like that, you're pretty good. But, you know, if you were to text somebody like, hey, what's our password for Amazon?
Oh, it's this. Okay. Someone can intercept that.
Yeah.
Okay. How about, can someone intercept that when I'm on just LTE?
No.
Okay.
Like if you're IMing them.
Okay. Okay.
And which, you're going over the internet, which we pretty much do nowadays.
Yeah, it's iMessage.
I mean, right.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So I consider myself a relatively intelligent person who reads and knows some stuff. I don't know what the hell I'm doing as far as this goes.
Right.
So I imagine the majority of the people out there don't know about this.
Exactly.
Don't you think that's a travesty? Shouldn't we know, considering how much of our information is out there?
Well, that's the thing where it's almost, you know, it's the kind of thing where, how should I say, it's almost the companies should be doing more to protect us, and to a lesser extent they are, but only to their own needs.
Okay.
Sort of like, I mean, I think Google is getting to the point where all their stuff is HTTPS. I know with our company, we're all going, all our traffic is HTTPS, which is the SSL, which is the encryption.
Yeah, and when I see that S, I feel a little bit safer.
And that's exactly it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's where it's, if everything on the internet was encrypted, you'd be much safer.
So why aren't we doing that?
It's up to the company you connect to.
When I go to, say, on my iPad here, even let's say I'm at a coffee shop and I hit my USAA, which is my bank, my app right there. Is that app secured?
Probably once you put in your username and password, yes.
Okay. I have it set up, so I just have to put in, if I want to look at my accounts, I just have a PIN.
Right. And that should be sent over encrypted.
Verifying security information. It's got like a... had something, a little check.
Yeah. No, I'm almost 100% positive that should be encrypted.
Okay.
I'm assuming, but yes, I would.
I mean, USA is a pretty big bank.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would think every bank would probably be encrypted at this point.
Okay. Because every bank's got an app.
Right.
Everything's got an app.
You can't have people logging in and not be encrypted. You're also talking about it's federally regulated. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would get fined and everything else as a bank for not doing. There's also something called payment card information. PCI, which is basically where all the banks have to secure their data. So even within the bank itself, your tellers can't be on the same network as the payment card information that's being transmitted. Okay. So, you know, the data, the transfer, like you swipe your card, let's say you're at the bank and you swipe your card, that information can't be in the same network as the teller.
Okay. Same thing I would imagine like at Lowe's. Right. Or is that, do you think that's regulated? Like that information probably isn't in the same as the guest
access. Well, I mean, that internet was the thing I think also there, you know, we had trouble with Target.
Yeah. When they just.
I don't know the details, so I'm assuming.
Yeah. Internet.
But this is a podcast, so I can be wrong.
You can make stuff up. Exactly, you have a microphone in front of you. That means you're right.
Exactly.
It means you know what you're talking about. So listening to that Joe Rogan and watching that Citizen 4 documentary, I'm like, do you know what? I have, and I think people use this as an excuse. I have nothing to hide. Let them look at me. But you ever hear the putting a frog into a pot of water and then turning the heat on? So take taxes are a good example. You put the frog in the pot of water and he's like, oh, this is pretty nice in here. It's a little warm. And you slowly turn the heat up just a little bit more and a little bit more. And eventually the frog's dead because he didn't know what was coming.
All right.
And me voluntarily giving up all my information, am I just slowly becoming, you know, under the thumb of Big Brother voluntarily? You know, eventually that's going to happen. Or should I just say, hey, do you know what? You know, they make things called the black phone. Black phone is, I don't know anything about security, but it's a completely untraceable phone. Not because I'm hiding anything, because I don't want anyone in my business.
Right.
Do I just do all my, like, let's say I want to read, I wake up in the morning and I want to read a couple news sites. Should I go on, like I have, you probably see right here, I have a Red browser, which is an Onion browser, and I go on there and it's a Tor. Well, it's Tor. Do you know what that is? I know a little bit.
The Tor network?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Onion.
Yeah.
Same sort of thing.
So I go on to, should I go into Tor browser and read my news and check my email? And
If it makes you feel safer, yes.
But does it make me safer?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I mean, on one hand, I mean, if you go to the news and you're looking up stuff, I mean, no offense, but who are you?
I know.
Does the government care?
Right, no. But that didn't, when we go back to the frog, I mean, no one cares. But I care, you know what I mean?
Because
I mean, we could go back to Thomas Paine, you know?
Right.
I'm a free person. I have liberties that I don't want infringed.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
And maybe it's just me making a statement. If enough people make that statement, maybe companies like who put out malware that tracks everything you do so they can, I don't know, exploit a weakness will say, hey, everyone's going anonymous. Everyone's going dark. What do we do here?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you kind of gotta think about it like this. I mean, you've got to protect the things that are important. So like your bank account, what you do not want to do is use the same password you use for all your other sites.
1234.
No.
Okay.
Even if it's the same one, because let's say you do that for some mom and pop, which has less security, and use the same username, a lot of the times that's how the hackers get you is they get a list together. They hack these people. Okay, they've got a username and password. Then they use that username and password for real sites like bank accounts and stuff like that, and then test it. And you know what? Sometimes it works because, you know, your 80-year-old grandmother's got one username and password and they use it for all these different sites. So, you know,
that's why I like Dashlane.
.com, you know, yes. And I use Dashlane. And what Dashlane is nice because what it does is it makes the passwords. It's not something you would think about. It's, you know, it's complex and it can continually change it. And it also notifies you if one website has been compromised or not.
Okay. How's their browser?
It's not secure? Bad. It's okay.
The problem
you mean
is
on the phone?
Yeah, or on this. I mean, I have Dashlane on this, and it's
okay.
I'm pointing to my
The thing is iPad. The Chrome on the computer, it's got the whatchamacallit, the thing that automatically logs you in, which is nice. But I have to use the browser for other sites. When I'm on my phone, It's not as user-friendly
no,
as
it isn't.
Chrome, but it does what I need to do. So if I need to log into something, then I'll use the dash link.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah. So, yeah, because, I mean, some of the passwords it comes up with, you're not...
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, there's somewhere it's like, you know, there's certain sites where I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I can use the 1234 and, you know, and I can use that for here and here. And, you know, you could go nuts and there's nothing.
Yeah, there's no reason. There. Yeah. Like at work, I have a, and it's not even work related. Well, I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's a reference, medical reference. Right. I have to have a username and password. Who cares? I don't care if someone hacks into my medical reference. I don't have any credit card information on there. If they want to read about lipids, by all means,
right,
hack me. Read about lipids.
Well, and that's the thing where, you know, using things like Dashlane, just being a little bit more concerned, also knowing where you are, like if I'm at a Target, if I'm at the airport and I connect to a public site, know that somebody could be or probably is listening, assume that, and then just don't go to sites that might be compromised. If you're looking at the news, nobody cares.
Yeah.
But if you're going to your bank or you're going to Amazon or whatever, but I mean...
What if you're on your phone and you're at the coffee shop and it's an HTTPS?
No, that's... Well, that's the thing. You're better off.
Okay.
But if somebody really wants to, encryption can be broken, but the chances are they're probably going to move on to something else. You're probably much... I mean, they would have to brute force it. It could take months, if not...
Okay.
A lot longer, depending on the processing power and the government. You know, I mean, it's you're 99.99% just fine.
Would you suggest staying off any public access, like Target's web?
I would. Mm-hmm. Just one. You can go on it. It's fine. Just it's a kind of thing where just assume, you know, just don't be too free to. Blah, 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 yeah. blah. If you're going to connect to it, just do what you need to do and then disconnect from
it. And then usually the only reason why you're on it there is to compare prices.
And that's to say you can't get to your Verizon network.
Yeah. Which is, you know what, sometimes, I swear to God, they say they don't throttle internet. We don't do that. You pay for 20 megabytes per second. You're going to get that. I do a speed test every now and then. I'm getting like 2 or 3.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me because... Well, whatever. I'll switch over to my LTE and it beats my home internet. And I'm like, what's going on here? Yeah. I mean, it's stupid.
Will you do a speed test here at the house?
Mm-hmm.
What do you have? Time Warner?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go with the CenturyLink.
Really? They're a lot faster.
Dude, I spent less for 100 meg.
When are we going to get...
Straight 100 meg. There's no sharing involved.
Really? So you're just instant. Basically, it's instant. Boom.
It's awesome.
Wait a minute. Yeah, watch this. So keep in mind, my
okay.
Oh, look at 2.7.
Okay, 2. Now 7. I've done a speed test, and I was freaking out on Time Warner, and I was upstairs on my wireless laptop.
Yeah.
And then I went to the plugged-in laptop.
Look at my upload speed.
And it was exactly what I said it was. So you have to consider the overhead of wireless.
Yeah.
And you're on an iPad.
So my download is 2.48.
Do your speed test from your plugged-in laptop?
We don't even have plug-in.
Well, then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But yeah. it's not in general.
Because this is an informative podcast. So exactly. Listeners, at this point, we want you to go plug in your... All right. So I guess that's how that works. So I guess and that makes sense. And that's actually what I kind of wanted to talk about today. I wanted to know how off the grid I should be. And I would love to be. And again, I know I'm...
The safest you can be is get yourself a nice bunker, go live in the wilderness.
I would do that.
And such a heartbeat. Because that's the thing. It's sort of like, how paranoid do you need to be? Or how... It's the kind of thing where just be safe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... If somebody really, really wants to hack you, there's a pretty good chance that they will find a way. But what are the chances that they're really, really going to want to hack you? Do you have some kind of a position or a job or something you know that somebody needs to know?
Yeah.
No.
No.
There's a lot of trouble. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people assume, I mean, unless you, now if you do things like like I said, you're texting, your passwords, or you just use the same ones. It's more like just use safe habits with protecting your identity, because there are a lot of safety features out there that will protect you, like SSL, going through your bank, going through your app. But, you know, if you just worry that everybody's going to get you and you're reading all these things and everybody's saying, oh, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things out there.
Oh, I'm definitely
worried. But if they were that easy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I guess everyone would be exploited all
exactly.
the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody who's got, you know, a million and billionaires, all their stuff would be hacked constantly. They'd have no money. You know, it's like, nah.
Let's switch gears for a second. I want to bring something up to you.
Uh-huh.
3D printing. What do you think about it?
I don't know. I've seen it, but I really haven't really followed onto it too often. I mean, I've seen things where they've made even guns and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I mean, it's interesting. And I think it's to the point where, I mean, you could make something. Well, I mean, I don't know. I really haven't. I've kind of looked at it, but I really haven't.
I think I looked at it a lot because it just made sense that it was kind of the next step. Mm. So I bought some stock in a few 3D companies that they were way overpriced and they ended up, but I still think they can do all right.
Okay.
So the point of it is I don't understand, I guess, where it can go. This one, 2015 Detroit Auto Show, they had a 3D printed car. And they market it, at least they talk about 3D printing, like it's going to be the Jetsons. You press a button and then boom, you have whatever you need.
Right.
And maybe it's just because we're the infancy of it. But when I see 3D printing, and what I understand about 3D printing is, well, you can do two things. You can have like a block of some sort of resin, which is a plastic, like a plastic.
Right.
And you tell the computer, this is what I want. Let's say you want a plastic letter opener. And so the computer goes, bish, 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 and it basically carves out a plastic letter opener.
Right.
And I guess that's not really, so let's do the opposite. Because the 3D printer, I mean, yeah, that technically would work because you're taking a medium and you're cutting into it and you're making an object.
Right.
The one that you see, though, is a resin or whatever, some sort of plastic polymer. That's the name I'm trying to come up with, polymer. Mm-hmm. And you say, I want a plastic letter opener.
Right.
And so you, or I want a hangers for my shower curtain. So
right, okay.
So it then, whatever medium it uses, it'll print up. And it usually uses like a laser and it heats up the polymer and it makes, but when you look at it, you can see that it's rough. There's, you know, lines and there's it's just not like a smooth surface. This is, I think this is the fender of the car.
Okay.
It looks like Play-Doh, like that, you know, there's lines in it. It doesn't look smooth.
Right.
And what I can't understand is, people seem to think 3D printing, okay, I want a new pair of headphones, I'm going to print them.
No.
But there's...
You've also got to think there's a lot of different...
Yeah, you can't print something that's mechanical and that works.
Right.
Like you can't... Maybe though, at some point, the computer will say, all right, now I'm going to use a copper, whatever, filament, and lay a copper filament in there or something. And now I'm going to use a rubber. And now I'm going to use something that's magnetic. And okay, maybe in 100 years.
Right.
And so maybe this is the infancy of it. I mean, whoever predicted tablet computers from the, what's that thing called? Were you the Morse code button thing, the tele...
Oh, whatever, telegraphs?
Telegraphs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're the same. I mean, they're on the same concept.
Right.
It's telecommunications, but one is obviously way more advanced than the other. And right. Maybe that's where we are with that. But people seem to, in my mind, you seem to only be able to make something of one type of material.
Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, you made the point where it's like it doesn't have moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes,
they can. Some of them actually.
Okay, you can make two parts that mm-hmm. you can interchange. I'm assuming that at that point,
I've seen some people, and it's a niche. I mean, there's these people that's their thing, 3D printing. So
right.
They may try to make more and more advanced things. And you know, like the piece of wood that's been carved into a chain. 3D printers are doing things like that.
Okay,
you know, things within things within things. And
so yeah, you're kind of you make it so that it's two things that it's printing in one cycle.
Yeah, and it's all the same substance.
Right.
And
so there's no electronics, there's mm-mm. no, you know, and that's
but the way people talk about it is, oh, I want the new iPhone, I'll print it. And it's like, Am I just, no, there's no way you can ever, well, maybe you can. And
we're not, it's not even right. You know, it's sort of, yeah.
Even if you wanted a part for your car that you couldn't get, you still would need the materials that are going to hold up.
Right.
The guys who were printing those 3D guns, which was fascinating for a couple reasons. And I know it's not just one medium that they're printing into. It's a 3D. I mean, you can have different materials, some stronger than others. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess that would make sense. If you wanted to make a knife, something with a strong knife and different handles that fold in, yeah, you just print your different parts and then put it together.
Right.
Okay. That basic machines, I guess I can understand them making. But anything complicated, I can't see that it would... Just the time it would take to make it would just be... buy it.
That's the thing where it's like, well, it'd be one thing if it could make all the different pieces and mm-hmm. then you could build sort of like, okay, you go to Walmart and you want to buy a table instead of having it, you know, made and then shipped to you, they print it up, all the pieces and everything else like that. You take it home and you put it together. I mean...
Yeah.
Something like that, maybe in the future, if it's not as rough and everything else like that, or you're just making, like you said, simple materials, something like that would make sense. Or you just need something instead of going to the store for shower curtain rods, something like that, you can print it out. And I could see that be useful, but I don't think I would need it to buy it.
Like, it just seems like an overkill to me.
It does. And I think it's a new toy people are loving. And until you make it practical, like look at Google Glass. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, wow, this is great. And now it's nobody cares anymore. And it's dying, mm-hmm. you know, whereas Microsoft actually is taking off on it. And they've actually created some glasses that are actually virtual reality.
Yeah, they have their own CPU.
Yeah, and they actually can like take your living room and then you can actually have things in your room.
Yeah,
I think is cool. And they're also making it practical. Mm-hmm. It's not just a toy.
Yeah, it uses gestures. You can move a 3D object around with your hand.
Right.
You can place it on the table because it sees the table and
I could give my wife a pair of those so that she can just rearrange the furniture without actually having to move things,
turn into
that
a game.
Would be awesome. That way, it's like, how do you think it'll look? Well, why don't you put the glasses on and do it without me breaking my back?
That'd be funny. Yeah, I've moved couches around too many times. Too many times.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, and medical field, I guess, are printing things. I don't know enough about it, but it makes sense to me that, you know, we can grow things, we can make things in labs. Why not have the ability to? And I think it's more cell matrix. And again, it's the medium that you're using.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you wouldn't use any of the things that the 3D printer is using because, you know, I mean, you're using like surgical steel and...
Well, I don't think maybe for that extent. I think what they're talking about is a trachea. A trachea needs a cell matrix. If you can make a cell matrix, which is basically the frame of a house, if you could print that and then get the person's cells on it, and those person's cells grow into a trachea,
they're doing that,
okay. But they're using like a pig trachea.
Right.
They're taking the pig cells, washing them off, and then putting the human cells on it, and then basically putting your own organ back in. You don't have a rejection. But I think what they're doing, and I'm just speculating because I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But they're printing either matrix for cells. They're not actually printing you a new eyeball, but they can print the framework of it, put your cells on it, and then your body says, oh, okay, I can use this.
Right.
And I think that's where it's going as far as medicine goes. But I think that's where you're going to see these things. I don't see them being in your garage and saying...
Well, and that's where I get to the point where making it a practical application. Yeah. You know, if you can... You have to be able to improve the way things go or do something that we can't do today, which actually has a practical application because... I mean, that's with anything. I mean, you know, there's toys and everything else like that. And there might be a small percentage who says, hey, I want to do this. But, you know, it's got to have some kind of substance for a company to want to spend money and everything else and keep going with it.
So anything else you want to talk about? I think that was pretty good.
I think that was pretty good.
I think it was. Today's podcast was very informative.
Yes, it was.
I don't know. Do I do my plugs like I did last time?
Sure.
Closing song. So, Wait What If Podcast. It's been about 10 days. We had one planned, but getting Moses to do a podcast is like trying to get
I know, right?
Obama on for a interview. Oh yeah, no politics, sorry. We are the Wait What If Podcast, an eclectic group of individuals you can send us an email at waitwhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. follow us on Twitter. I have I think 3 or 4 followers on Twitter, so that's pretty good.
That is
Paul nice. And Johnny Appleseed and my mom. No, I'm just kidding.
That's so sad.
We're getting a lot of listens though. Last one, Victoria and Adam. So Victoria was a guest a few podcasts ago, and she's actually married, to the listeners who don't know, she's actually married to Adam. And Adam's podcast, where we got a little weird last week, got a lot more downloads than her. So I have a little bit of a competition going on there.
Nice.
So I liked that podcast. I don't know if you heard, we just decided, I was like, let's just go off the rails. And yeah, we were at one point, we were talking about ancient aliens and
nice.
It got,
missed it.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. And we talked about how many Earths per grain of sand. So there's 100 Earths.
I've actually tried to count that.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get?
I don't know.
A handful? Yeah. And you had to give up?
One. All right, I'm bored.
Well, thanks for listening. Go to Podcast Land and vote on our podcast. Just have to put your email address in there. That's podcastland.com. And search for the Wait What If Podcast. Go into iTunes. I know that helps us out a little bit. That's basically it. I hope you enjoy this, and we'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Peace.